If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 119. We'll be reading from verses 33 through 40. So Psalm 119, beginning in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, and your righteousness give me life. We're going to be looking at this further in just a few moments, so don't turn away from here. But as many of you know, there's a number of controversies taking place within the Southern Baptist Convention. While there are many good things happening within the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, it's always the controversies that make the headlines. That's how it typically is, right? The good stuff is, you know, buried away in the back of the paper. The not-so-good stuff is on the front page. But right now, there's just to list out a couple of them. One of the most recent controversies surrounds the hiring of a professor at one of our seminaries who endorsed what is called the Revoice Conference. This conference, this movement, endorses the language of gay Christian, transgender Christian. Another controversy is found in the racial reconciliation in that realm, and really it's, the controversy revolves around the use of worldly philosophies as analytic tools. And perhaps the most prominent controversy is about women preaching on the Lord's Day. While each controversy is unique in its own way, they all share one common theme. This common theme is an attempt to undermine the authority of the Scriptures by formulating church doctrine and church practice according to culture or being influenced by the culture. And so I'm not going to get into the controversies. That would definitely derail where I want us to go here tonight. Rather, I want to focus on the importance of the Scriptures because these controversies remind us of one thing, how important it is to stay grounded upon the Word of God. And to remind us that the Scriptures are our rule of faith, our rule, our standard for practice. See, if we don't, well, I shouldn't say that. Let me say this. It's easy. It is easy to allow worldly philosophies into the church. It is easy for us to allow worldly philosophies to begin to interpret our life and our practice. And it's easy to allow worldly philosophies to interpret the Scriptures for us. And the reason why is because many of these things sound good. They do. They're subtle. It's usually the subtle things that are the problem. But we have, as you know, a confession of faith here. What is our confession of faith that we hold to? There you go. So we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, and you can see that. You should have a handout. I want to read just a few parts, really the highlighted parts. This confession has 32 chapters, but the first chapter is the one I want to key in on, and that chapter is on the Holy Scriptures. The London Baptist Confession is mirrored very closely after the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Savoy Declaration. But there are slight differences in there. Anyhow, so you look at it. Look at this chapter. Look at what's in the highlighted section. First thing you see is the Holy Scripture is the all-sufficient, certain, and infallible rule or standard of the knowledge, faith, and obedience that constitutes salvation. So this is what we believe. We believe the Holy Scriptures are the infallible rule, the standard of the knowledge, faith, and obedience that constitutes salvation. Then you look at paragraph 2. Paragraph 2 shows what is in the Scriptures, what is in there, the Old and New Testament. You see that? And then at the very end, it says, all these books are given by the inspiration of God. Once again, we see the same thing to be the rule or standard of faith in life. Very consistent to what we've seen in paragraph 1, the scriptures being that standard, that rule. Same thing here after listing out what these scriptures are. Once again, these are the scriptures that are the standard, the rule. On the back side, paragraph 6, you'll see the sum total of God's revelation concerning all these things, essential to his own glory and to the salvation and faith and life of men, is either explicitly set down or implicitly contained in the Holy Scripture. Nothing, whether a supposed revelation of the Spirit or man's traditions, is ever to be added to Scripture. And one thing we could say today that we see, worldly philosophies are not to be added to the Scriptures. And then we see this chapter 1, it ends with this. All religious controversies are to be settled by Scripture and by Scripture alone. All decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, and doctrines of men collectively or individually are similarly to be accepted or rejected according to the verdict of the Scripture given to us by the Holy Spirit. In that verdict, faith finds its final rest. So from our confessional document, we're reminded of the importance of the Scriptures and how the Scriptures are our final authority, that rule, the standard of our faith and practice. And the reason why is because the Scripture comes to us from God. And that is why the Scripture is our standard of faith, our rule of faith in life. So thinking about this, and we're about to be getting into Psalm 119, all this is setting us up for that. Here's a question. What's easier to do? Is it easier to say that the Scriptures are our standard, our rule of faith and life and practice, or is it easier to live as though the Scriptures are our standard of faith, life, and practice? Which is easier, to say it or to do it? Say it. Well, with anything, that's typically the case, right? To say that we believe something is much easier than to actually live it out, to do it, to effectively do that. And so, the reason it's difficult to live according to the Word of God is because we're engaged in a war. There's a war going on that's a fight against the truthfulness of God's Word. And when did that war begin? In the garden, right? The devil, what's he say? Did God really say? Like, are you sure that's what God said? So there's a fight that's been going on ever since then for the Word of God, for the truth. That is why it is difficult. That is why this is something that we have to fight for. And so ever since the garden, we've been living in the midst of a war. And therefore, it's easier for us to say that we should walk according to God's word than it is to actually walk according to God's word. For this reason, one of the benefits of being a part of Providence, being a part of a church, and I would say this church in particular, is to witness many saints who've been walking according to God's word for many years, some for 20, some for 30, 40, 50, and I believe some for even 70 years, walking according to the truth. What an encouragement that is to us to see the lives of saints who live according to the word of God. And so with that in mind, now let's look back to Psalm 119. As we see here, we see several words such as law, testimonies, statutes, commandments, promises, rules, precepts. While all of these words refer to a specific aspect of God's word, they do refer to God's word. And so tonight we're going to use these terms synonymously. We're not going to dive into all the nuances here, but we're going to use these terms as synonyms for God's word because they are elements and aspects of God's word. So just looking again at verse 33, as the psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." So teach me. Then in 34, "Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my heart," or a whole heart. So look at the verbs, teach me, and then I'll keep it. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, that I may observe it with my whole heart. So the psalmist's desire here is not just to know the word of God, not merely to be taught the word of God, but to understand it so that he can do what? So he can keep it, so that he can observe it, so that he can walk accordingly. And so we see this word observe at the end of verse 34. Observe it with my whole heart. If you recall Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew, he commissions them to make disciples, baptizing them. So make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That is not merely just to know, not just to guard and keep. That's implied there. But to know these things so they might keep and do these commandments. Jesus is essentially saying in Matthew, teach them the whole counsel of God. Obey the whole counsel of God. Teach them to do. And so the idea of observing God's word is obeying the word, doing what it says. And so the psalmist here prays for understanding, to know what the word of God says so that he might do it. God's word is not merely a truth to be heard and known. It is a truth to be obeyed. We see this throughout the scriptures. We're to be hearers and doers of the word. So we're not just to be hearers. Yes, we are to hear it. We are to understand it with an intention, with a purpose of doing. So before we keep going through this passage, here's what I want to do. I'm going to break this into a couple sections. I want to stop and pray. I want to pray, and I'm going to ask Dennis, if Dennis would pray, that God would give us understanding of his word, that we might know the word, and that we might obey God's word. So Dennis, if you would pray for us.
Oh, Father, we do come before you tonight, and we're faced with our lives and our world and your word. Father, we're being called by the Holy Spirit. We want to be Christians. And Father, these times are troubling. For that reason and many more, Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding of your word, that we would not be fooled by crafty schemes of evil forces. Father, we also ask that you would give us hearts that would be inclined to observe your law. Father, would you make us follow you? Would you help us follow you? Would you incline us? Would you change our desires when they're wrong, when they're selfish, or when they're not for your glory? Father, we need this. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just a note before we keep moving on. It's nothing wrong with knowing about controversies going on, knowing about attacks on the Word of God and the Gospel. Nothing wrong with that at all. But here's the issue. So often in our lives, it's easier to focus on the controversy, the attacks, spend all day looking at social media, seeing all of these things going on, and spend very little time seeking to understand God's Word. So let that be an encouragement for me and for you. That it's easier to get engaged and find out what's the controversy say than it is what's God's word say. And if we aren't careful, what will end up happening is we'll think we know what God's word says while really not knowing what God's word says. So we need to stay in the word. Keep on going. 35. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. So once again, we see, lead me in the path. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. And then turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Give me life in your ways. And so, very similar to what we've already read, but I really just want to draw your attention to two things. Incline my heart to your testimonies and turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. That goes right along with how easy it is to spend our time looking at controversies, looking at those kind of things that can end up being worthless things because we devote more of our time and energies to those things. So we pray, incline my heart to your word, O God. Turn my eye away from those things which are really worthless, which are a waste of my time, which, if I didn't do, would actually be good for me. And so, it's not merely enough for us to just try to walk in the ways of God. Our hearts must be inclined to do that. You can try all you want, but our hearts, our desires must be set upon the Lord. Yes, it is good for us to walk in the Word, even when we don't want to, but we pray that God would incline our hearts to His testimonies. And as our hearts are inclined to God's Word, we will turn away from looking at these worthless things. We will truly begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. And I'll ask Barry, if Barry would pray for our church collectively, that the Lord would incline our hearts. He was teaching on that today with money, but that'll come out in his class about the importance of the heart. So if you pray that the Lord would incline our hearts to God's Word, to God in His Word, and turn our eyes from those worthless things.
Father, your word is clear. And the facts of our life before you saved us show us that we have no desire for you, that you call us. And as David pleads here, Father, we ask that you turn our hearts to the truth. Help us to understand, or make it clear. Lord, we pray for conviction. Conviction that would lead to action, that would lead to love of your words, as it's explained here, as it's mentioned here. Lord, that we would have that and we would seek it. Lord, pluck the selfishness from us and help us to delve deep into your word and trust it and to live it for your glory.
Amen. Amen. Verse 38. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. And behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life. Do you long for God's word? Do you hunger for God's word? As Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? We see righteousness revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ, where we learn about him in the Word of God. So the question, do you long for God's Word? Do you hunger for his truth? I'm going to close this, and then Roy will come and lead us in more time of prayer. But I'm going to pray that God would preserve within us and cultivate as well within us a true hunger for God's word. That's one of the reasons why we were drawn to this church 8-9 years ago, and many of you as well. The word of God being central, being opened up, being read, being preached, being taught, governing our church, not according to what man thinks, but according to what God thinks. The elders' meetings, looking, what does the Word of God say? Not just what I think or what we should do. But what does the Word of God say? And so I pray that God would continue to preserve that, but also that God would continue to be cultivated and grown, and that a new hunger would arise within us for God's Word, and that we would be workers of righteousness rather than workers of iniquity. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we see these truths in your word, as we see the heart of the psalmist here, I myself am often convicted, reminded of how many things I allow to take center stage in my own life, and how little time I spend hungering for the word, for your word, for the words that, as we see Peter, the disciple, saying, where else will we turn? Because you have the very words of life. I pray that we would see that what this world promises as life is actually death, and that what you promise, what we find in your word, truly is life, and the abundant life, because in your word, we find you. We find ourselves, and we find a gracious God who saves sinners. And so, Father, I pray that you would stir up within us, cultivate within our church a renewed hunger for your word. That we wouldn't just fall into habits of, this is just what we do. We open up the word, but that we would come because we desire to hear from you. We would gather together expecting to hear from you through your word. So, Father, I pray you would preserve that within us, that we would continue to build and grow because you are doing the work through your word by the Spirit working through the word among us. So give us a hunger, I pray. Amen.